Hey guys, what's going on? It has been a minute. Now, I originally recorded this a couple days ago, but I wasn't really happy with it for whatever reason. And this is going to be a episode essentially, well, more or less, very deep to me. Very, very close to me. Very based, I would say. Not only in terms of why I think this particular topic is important, but why it's misunderstood. And I hope to get more people, even if it's one person, on board, essentially what I'm going to talk about. And what we're going to talk about this, we're going to talk about is Monero. Now, I understand that cryptocurrency gets very hyperized in a sense. I don't know what word I'm looking for, but it gets very overestimated and price. It's everyone's like price, Bitcoin. I don't understand it, but I could have been a millionaire if I would have put $5,000 instead of being a baby. It's just very cringe, especially amongst like normies. And they think it's super anonymous, and they don't understand why it's $100,000, and I don't think anyone does, personally. But I'm going to go over some key points why I think Monero is more has more of a utility, and its fungibility outpaces and essentially should outshine Bitcoin, but it's not because Bitcoin's the OG, though I think Bitcoin is fine in the eco space, and I understand why it's the like. I understand why it gets the recognition that it should. More or less, I'm on the layer 2 network aspect of it, like with Sats and Zaps. The Lightning Network, essentially, is what it should have been, but it's not still like widely adopted, unfortunately. And obviously, it adds some slight levels to privacy, and speeds of transactions are much better than what they used to be. Now, beyond that, and we're going to put that opinion and put that to the side, is Monero in itself. Now, if you don't know what Monero is, it essentially is what Bitcoin should have been. It's essentially what Bitcoin was supposed to be, but years later we clearly found out that that's not the case, and it kind of sucks. There has been good blockchain analysis and companies that pretty much have figured out how to trace wallets back to the owners and how to connect dots. And I mean, that is one of the key components of Bitcoin in cryptocurrency in general, is transparency. That's what people want. Hey, you're being more transparent about where everything goes to. This creates an environment where I know that this is a certain amount of Bitcoin that's being sent to me. It's, you know, a public ledger. That's the point. Well, that's where the issue lies in. Bitcoin Cash was supposed to solve this, and it never really did. But we have Monero. Monero is pretty much the leading cryptocurrency focused on private and censorship-resistant transactions. And I'll get to why Bitcoin has an issue with this. Monero transactions are confidential and untraceable in 2024. Unlike selective transparent alternatives like Zcash, Monero is the only major cryptocurrency where every user is anonymous by default. The sender, the receiver, the amount of every single transaction are hidden through the use of three important technologies: stealth addresses, ring signatures, and ring CT. Because every transaction is private, Monero cannot be traced. This makes it a true fungible currency. Now, stealth addresses are automatic one-time address for every transaction. Ring signatures is a group of cryptographic signatures with at least one real participant, but no way to tell which group is real, and they all appear valid. And RingCT is a way to hide the amount sent of Monero transactions. Think of this. This is the best analogy that I've ever come across. Think of this as like a hat. Everyone puts $20 in there. Say five out of the six $20 is fake, and you pull them out. Nobody knows where the fake 20s came from. Nobody knows if this is a real or fake 20, quote unquote, just, you know, for simplicity. That is essentially it. Everyone walks away with a $20 bill. Now, the more ring signatures there are, the better privacy it gets. Obviously, there are ways to trace correlation through Monero through correlation, bad OPSEC, and bad, essentially bad oopsie daisies. Obviously, good OPSEC, masking your IP address, making sure you're never tying any wallets to you, transferring Monero from wallet to wallet for a few fractions of a couple pennies, increases the likelihood of your privacy and the lack. Increases your privacy, increases plausible deniability, and reduces correlation. Monero is an electronic cash that allows you to fast, inexpensive payments to and from anywhere in the world. This is why I also love crypto in general. I can send $100 from here in, say, the United States to someplace in Mexico or Europe for a fraction of the cost. I don't have to get the government involved. I don't have to get anyone involved, actually. They just have to accept it, and as long as it's fungible in their country and they can spend it, it just works. It's cheap, it's sovereign money, especially if it's mine, and no third parties involved. There are no wire transfers or checks or clearing fees, no multi-day holding periods, no fraudulent chargebacks, because Monero is decentralized, is not contained to any particular legal jurisdiction, and provides a safe capital control, which I am in favor for. That is the crust of it, the crux of it, or whatever people say. That's the point. Now, how do I get Monero? That's a good question that a lot of people ask, and a question that I've been asked multiple times. How does someone get Monero? Well, say you have cash and you know somebody, just hand them cash and they hand you Monero if they have it. Well, they're like, how do they get Monero? Well, they can mine it. It's mineable. You don't get a lot. It's ASIC resistance. It's only CPU'd mined. This is to prevent some problem with ASIC miners where they can control the majority of the network, and there's some other reasons pretty much that make it kind of problematic. And now what you could do is essentially mine it, or you could just sell stuff for Monero, or you can buy in cash. There are some ways to buy it in cash through Havano, I think is the how you pronounce it. RetroSwap is another one, or you can just mine it. It does do a proof of work. The Monero uses RandomX. It's an ASIC resistant against proof of work algorithm currently used by Monero. ASIC resistance and CPU friendly algorithm created by Monero community members designed to make use of mining specific hardware unfeasible. That's essentially one of the biggest problems, is when you have mining specific hardware, it kicks everyone else out that can't afford this kind of mining hardware. Monero previously used Kryptonite and various uses of algorithms. It has an emissions curve, unlike the dollar. To make sure there will always be an incentive to mine Monero use and keep it safe, the emission is infinite. There are two main emissions. First main curve, 18.132 million coins by the end of 2022. And then the tail curve, 0.6 XMR per 2 minute block kicks in once the main emission is done, translated to 1% inflation decreasing over time. It's the block reward at the end of the curve emission. Blocks, a new block is created every 2 minutes. There is no maximum block size, but instead of block reward penalty and dynamic block size to ensure dynamic scalability. Its scaling and flexibility can accommodate many transactions. that is something to keep in mind. Now, after it is progressively getting somewhat harder to mine Monero, to obtain Monero, because all these fucking exchanges, these centralized exchanges, are delisting it left and right, because a lot of these countries fear privacy. Maybe a lot of these governments fear privacy. They're worried about quote unquote acts of terrorism and money laundering. You don't have to do all that. You don't have to just get Monero to do this. You can just fucking do it through banks that allow it. I was listening to a podcast where there was just a bank in the United States that willingly knew that people were laundering money through it, essentially through drug trade. And they're like, yeah, we'll do it. And we'll help you. For a fee, but we'll help you. And we'll make sure you won't get caught. It's crazy. It's actually absolute bonkers. Like, the whole, like, anti-money laundering and fight against terrorism is just a bunch of bullshit that's just kind of like fed to us. I think it's insane that I have to claim, or I get wired, or I get like alerted if I pull out anything more than 10 grand and pay for something in cash. First off, what if you buy a used car for $10,000? You know what I mean? We're going to find something that's less than 10 grand that's like a huge purchase like that, or a house or whatever. Say you find a house for like, you know, 30 grand if you're lucky. That's obviously fine. For 30 grand, and you just want to pay cash. You don't want a mortgage, you don't want your credit card involved, you don't want any of that. You just want to pay cash. Cold, hard cash. Be done with it. Then you get flagged. Then they're like, "Oh, why are you doing that?" Or why are you doing this transaction? Then it gets recorded. Or you get taxed on it. I think you get taxed on it. It's actually insane that even has to happen. So what if I just do $9,999? It's kind of bonkers that pretty much Form 83000 and reporting cash payments over $10,000. You have to file. Generally, if you're in a trade or business and you receive more than $10,000 in cash or a single transaction and related in a single transaction or related transactions, you must file Form 8300. Form 8300 report of cash payments over $10,000 in a trade or business provides valuable information to the IRS and the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network in their effort to combat money laundering. Money is laundered to collect illegal activities. Who must file? A person who must file includes individual, company, or corporation, partnership, associated with trust or estate. You must file an 830 electronically with the FinCEN in and or paper with the IRS if any of the party transit occurs within any of the 50 states or the District of Columbia or U.S. possession territory. America, Samoa, and the Commonwealth of North of Marine Islands and Guam, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands. When to file? Within 15 days of the cash transaction occurred. Besides filing, you also need to provide a written statement to each party whose name included by January 31st of the year of the following reported transaction. That's crazy. So what if I just pull out $5,000 one year and then $5,000... year two for the same thing? I'm just like, hey, just wait 12 months. Would that work in a single transaction or in a related transaction?
So just make it quote unquote unrelated. Hey, I'll give you $5,000 for the car and $5,000 for you walking, coming to me. I mean, I'm just saying, you could just find out so many so fucking insane, esoteric ways around this. And it's crazy to me that this even fucking exists to, quote unquote, get rid of money laundering. What about $9,999? How does that prevent money laundering? And then just do a different transaction for $9,999. And just keep doing it in a different transaction. That's why it's fucking bonkers to me. It's like clown, you know, this is kangaroo court. Just kidding.
I just don't understand that. It's your money. You've already been taxed on it. You've already paid. You paid your dues. You've already done everything under the sun to make this work, and it has to be traced. And then if you have to fucking transfer to another country, you get holding periods, tax periods, blah blah blah, etc. $10,000 in another country might be fucking life changing money, enough to, you know, live on. And you know, so I know some people get on like, oh, gold and silver, you got to transport, you got to hold it, you got to pay this, you got to pay that to fucking transport and hold it. Monero can fit literally in a fucking hardware wallet and be in your pocket. No one knows it exists. So on the security side, I don't have to carry $10,000 with me. On the privacy side, Monero solves that. So I think that having the ability to carry large sums of money, not for tax evasion or crimes or anything, but just for borderline privacy and movability, I think the fungibility, the movability, and the privacy aspect of cryptocurrency and just Monero in general is amazing. You literally don't have to, you don't have to go through these hoops and ladders just to have it, have ownership of your money. That is the point. Ownership over your finances. Now, after you obtain Monero through goods, services, doing work for Monero, accepting it, mining it, trading other cryptocurrencies that you have for it, we get to the utility belt analogy. Just like a VPN, just like an email alias, you are just separating yourself essentially from the third parties and the people that want to harvest, collect your data, resell it. This is the break, the wall, the bulletproof vest that not only protects you and separates you, the sandbox, however you want to look at it, that pushes us forward into a more liberated life, a more free and private life. That is the purpose. I don't... Now, if you look at Monero's price, even, in the last, 12 months, you gain some cash out of it. You gain some money out of it. That's a good thing. Like, you not, instead of sitting on cash that's inflationary that loses money, you, if you would have bought it 1 year ago at the highest, 176, you made a couple dollars. It's up 20, you know, up $20. That's pretty good return to me. And see, you bought it at the lowest at $100. You saw a 96% return. Now, if you would have bought it in the last 5 years, say 2020, say during the pandemic or, you know, lockdown or whatever, and you were just stacking Monero and stacking it when it was at $40, $60, $80, and then it spiked up, obviously, to the all-time high of $400, which was crazy in 2021, and only two times it's touched that, pretty much. 424 in 2018, and during, these were probably like insane bull runs, 475 all-time high in 2021 and 2018. If you would have, say, put thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars in 2019, you would have saw a pretty return in 2021, maybe retirement type of money, and then sold off for cash because somebody else is going to use it. This is the point, is the circular economy. Now, yellowball.fm accepts Monero. This isn't a plug, like a sponsor plug or anything. I like that yellowball.fm, which is my podcasting hosting provider, I like that they accept Monero, and they ask for as little information as possible. Josh from Sided Burritos does a really good job. I personally like the site. I like the design. I like how simplistic it is. It has 2FA. These are like my cleanest requirements for a website to be functional. No, zero to little blow. 2FA, little to no information that's needed to function. It's a good system. And then there's Monero Market, Monero Chat. There's so many. There's Monerica that tells you services that accept Monero. That, I mean, it's getting more usability and fungibility than ever. Now, after you obtain Monero, where do I store it? Well, I would go to the Monero GUI wallet. If you want some
simple
desktop experience, host your own Monero node.
It's very simple.
There's tons of resources out there for it. Get the Monero GUI wallet, and boom. Just add. Put your Monero on there.
It's going to be more private. It's going to be more secure. Obviously, keep your seed phrases within a nice, secure environment. Make a couple copies. Don't store them online. Send everything to this wallet. Then spread it out, maybe a couple other wallets to reduce correlation for, you know, pennies.
And then, after you do that,
do it as its intention is.
Spend it. Go to Monero Market or Monero Chat or XMR Bazaar
and spend the Monero. Find places that you that accept it through America, Monerica, and when you're in public, ask if they accept Monero. They might not even advertise it.
I mean, or even get them started to be like, oh, why should I accept Monero? Well,
cheaper than MasterCard and Visa. You don't got to worry about your account getting shut down.
Which is kind of nice. And the Monero GUI wallet has a merchant page. Like a merchant. Like where you can accept merchant.
It's nice. You can do a receive, transaction, advance. You can even mine. Mining with your computer helps strengthen Monero network. The more people mine, the harder it is for the network to be attacked. And even every little bit helps. Mining also gives you a small chance to earn some Monero. Your computer will create hashes. Looking for block solutions. If you find a block, you'll get the assisted rewards. Good luck. P2 mining is decentralized. Way to pool the mine that pays out more frequently compared to solo mining. And while supporting the network. I mean, it's a no-brainer. The GUI Monero wallet is all in one. And you have so many options out there to make it more to have more people hop on board. Well, the easier it becomes, I think the more people hop on board when it's less complicated, as much as that's if that sucks or not. I mean, sometimes it sucks because I think people are like they just don't want to like learn and dig in.
So, after you get Monero, after you put it in your wallet, go spend it. Go support some projects, buy stuff, sell stuff, and use it in the circular economy.
That's the important part, is it allows you to be private. I mean, look what happened. Look at, there's a political figure that you like, and society doesn't like them. You should be able to donate to them without it being public ever. I mean, so many things get leaked, people get their stuff leaked, they're like, oh, this person donated to the liberals and or the Democrats or the Republicans and or the libertarians or the, you know, XYPP poo poo, and you're like, why, who fucking cares? It's my money, I should be able to do whatever I want with it. But some people do. This is why Bitcoin's not really fungible. Say, like, they trace your wallet that you connect stuff to, and they don't like where you got your Bitcoin from, or they don't like the fact that your Bitcoin wallet address showed up here, and they deny you service. That's what makes Monero fungible. They don't know. They don't care. They're like, thanks for the money. Thanks. Thanks for the money, dude. Have a nice day. That's, you know, that's where the fungibility comes in. Now, not only that's what makes it great is you have to think, well, if they can do that with Bitcoin, what's stopping them from doing that with Monero? Who knows? You know, that's the point, is Monero XMR tries to be as transparent as possible and make it as untraceable and constantly work on the privacy and the security of Monero. But I always say, you know, rotate. Look what happened with Tornado Cash and Wallet of Satoshi. Wallet of Satoshi left the United States due to regulation. Tornado Cash for the Ethereum mixers, the guys that ran that, they got arrested. Samurai Dojo, which is like a Bitcoin mixer that makes running your own node makes it a little bit more private. They got the owners of that got arrested for money laundering through like the fees and stuff. So like stuff like this, just it's like just pick Monero. It makes it so much easier. You don't have to do all these backflips and like hoops and ladders to make it function. You know, as is. You just use Monero as its intention, a currency that buys me stuff. I sell for high, that I bought low. And I take the Monero and then I spend it. That's what I do, like with Yellow Ball. Is like any Monero that I make, I just spend it on Yellow Ball to continue my service with them, or I buy gift cards, stuff like that. It's just I make it where I would normally spend my money somewhere, but at a, you know, in a more private way. And I think that beyond just looking at the price and meme pumping and coining, I think that's what's great about XMR in general, is people care about the utility of it. They care about the fact that they can buy stuff with it and it's more private. Or say you go on the dark net and like the deep web and you find a dark net website that has maybe your prescription drugs that are out of stock at a fraction of the cost. You can just purchase it, sent to you. More private. Maybe they're not even trying to make any money off of it. They're just trying to provide an altruistic service. But to end on a rant and in perspective, buy Monero, put it in your wallet, run your own node, and retain your privacy. Treat it like a tool in your privacy toolbox. Treat it like a VPN. It's not a bulletproof solution, but what it is, is another tool to help separate myself from these digital companies that incorporate almost like digital slavery, where you're trapped or your data is being sold. I just want to buy like a magazine or something and not have any correlation and not even have to leave my house. It's great. That's the purpose. Treat Monero like a tool and use it like a tool where it has the backing to make it not only private but more secure. I'm going to link some more resources for Monero in the show notes. I appreciate anyone who comes out and listens to this podcast, and I'm going to be putting out more content. And I want the people that think about being their own bank, in a sense, and retaining more of their digital freedom and digital privacy, definitely consider going to getmonero.org. And continue to preserve your purchases through the power of privacy. That is essentially the point. And host your own node. Let other people connect to it. And help and mine it too. And help decentralize the network so that you also can maintain your digital freedom. Have a good night.